you know, this passage in Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, it's actually appealing also to us. It's also acknowledging that it's not just the Galatian Christians at the time that were feeling a struggle, a tension, a conundrum, but it's also showing that we ourselves as Christians now are also in this kind of battleground where we feel there is this pull from our fleshly desires and this pull from the Spirit, and they're just opposed with one another. And so Paul was really saying that, acknowledging this, and Paul of all people also wrote in Romans, you know, that he had the same struggle. And so he was actually kind of trying to explain that that the law was there to show what holiness looked like, but it was the Spirit that enabled Christians to actually fulfill the law. So if you remember Jesus, when Jesus came, he said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. And what he really meant was that, you know, following the Mosaic law was just following the technicalities. It was the outer appearance of following certain traditions and certain customs in the hopes that by fulfilling all these checklists of things, you will attain holiness, or you would be right with God. And I suppose Jesus was really saying, it's not really these checklists of laws that I want you to fulfill. It's the Spirit of the law I want you to fulfill. And earlier on in Galatians, it says in Galatians 5:14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so I guess Paul was also saying it's walking by the Spirit, in a way, is fulfilling the Spirit of the law. And that coincides with what Jesus was saying, was that he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. He came to show Christians and show us how to fulfill the law by, first of all, walking in the Spirit, but also receiving Jesus. Well, we have to receive Jesus and Holy Spirit in order to walk in the Holy Spirit. And so this was a completely new way and a new tool for Christians to really kind of fulfill the Spirit of the law and to walk in that freedom. So in going back to this passage in Galatians 5:16, you know, it's talking about the desires of the flesh. And Paul is saying that there is a constant war between the flesh, but he's also saying that there should be a constant desire to do the right thing. So there is a constant war. There's a constant war between the flesh, but there should, in Christians, also be a constant desire to do the right thing. And I think that's the key difference as well. That without the Holy Spirit, there isn't that internal conviction of what sin is. There isn't that internal drive to yearn after the fruits of the Spirit, right? So he's saying, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. A Christian writer put it this way: life by the Spirit is neither legalism nor license, nor a middle way between them. It is a life of faith and love that is above all these false ways. And Luther, on the lust of the flesh, he wrote, I do not deny that the lust of the flesh includes carnal lust, but it takes more. It takes in all the corrupt desires with which the believers are more or less infected, as pride, hatred, and impatience. So what is this lust of the flesh? No, it's not simply talking about one particular type of lust. It's talking about many things, and the things listed in Galatians 5:16 include all the different things that I suppose we as Christians struggle with. I don't think there is a single one of these things on the list that Paul lists out, which we don't struggle with on multiple occasions throughout the day. And I think it is just this confusion sometimes that makes it difficult for Christians to understand why it is that despite receiving the Holy Spirit, despite believing in Jesus, we still struggle. We still struggle with these fleshly desires. And I was saying earlier that Paul completely acknowledged this, and I think he wrote this in some ways for our comfort, so that we weren't discouraged ourselves. And in Romans 7, chapter 15, Paul writes, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." So I think the point I'm trying to make here is that the enemy can often try to make us feel defeated. The enemy can always try to make us feel that we're still captive in our own ways, in our fleshly ways. In the same way that the Galatian Christians were often tempted to revert back to their old ways, we ourselves are tempted by the enemy to revert back to our flesh, to kind of operate in the flesh which we have been born with. Many of us became Christians in a much later stage in our lives, and therefore the flesh is still a very large influence in our daily lives, in the way we operate, in our instincts. Right? That's our modus operandi. We just revert back to our flesh very, very easily, very quickly. And that's the same struggles that the Galatian Christians were having. You know, they were Jews. Many of them were Jews, right? They were not all Gentiles. Many of them were Jews, and they were so accustomed to their way of life, to following the Mosaic law, that it was just easy for them to revert back and just miss the whole point of the new covenant, to miss the whole point of the gospel. But the important thing to remember, I suppose, for us is that the enemy is always full of lies. The enemy is always trying to persuade us that we are not more powerful than the enemy, that somehow we're held captive, that we're held hostage, but we're not. The difference is we are no longer powerless against the enemy. Jesus has disarmed the enemy, and all he can really do is to spread false accusations, to spread lies into our lives, that we do not have the power to fight and combat these so-called lusts of the flesh. And sometimes we might even be led to think that, you know, it's not working, that somehow we are still reverting back to old ways. And I think the way to know that we are Christians, that we are really in Jesus, is to take a look at what's our inner man saying or inner spirit saying. And, you know, in some respects, people call this the conscience. But I really believe that it is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. As Paul says, it's walking by the Spirit. It means, you know, at some point in time, we will always feel this pull. After a while, there is this inner influence that shows us and directs us that we're doing something not quite right. But oftentimes, if we are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we need to continue to be so, it is easy for us to gravitate towards our flesh again. So the important thing is to, I suppose, kind of from my own experience, is posturing. And I think posturing is now seen in this world as something negative. Posturing often means you're posturing to portray a false image of yourself. But I like to think of posturing in this sense as posturing before God to somehow position ourselves to make sure that we're open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because if we want to walk in the Spirit, we need to be sensitive. We need to be open to what God is trying to say. And I think posturing looks different to everyone. We often hear, read the Bible and pray. And I think these are essential things. But exactly how you do it, whether you are a morning person, whether you're an evening person, whether you prefer to listen to worship as you wake up on the way, as you go to work, we're all different. But the important thing is that we find a posture in which we can listen and we can hear from God, so that we no longer listen to the flesh, but we listen to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, even in my experience, God will use circumstances to reposition us, to reposture us. We know that, when we are usually down, when we're desperate, when we're uncomfortable, that's when we are in a good posture, because we're more ready to scream out and shout to God. We're more willing to hear from God. C.S. Lewis put it this way: God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse the deaf world. And I think what C.S. Lewis was trying to say is that oftentimes it's harder to hear God when things are going well, and we often forget. But usually when times are difficult, as they are now, I suppose, for many of us, It's the best time because we are almost forced into a position, forced into a posture where we can hear from God. And I suppose the point of the message this morning is just to really take advantage of this time when, a lot of us are trapped at home, when there is COVID, there's worries, people are, are faced with different types of challenges, that we, rather than going back and operating in the flesh, whether it's to worry about your finances, whether it's to just worry, whether it's whether it's being struck with fear, it's to operate in the Spirit, and that's what that's why I was thinking of giving a message like this morning. To encourage you, a lot of other famous Christian writers just really acknowledge the same thing that Paul was talking about in terms of struggling with this flesh and the Spirit. Luther described it this way: when the flesh begins to cut up, the only remedy is to take the sword of the Spirit and the word of salvation and fight against the flesh. If you set the word out of sight, you are helpless against the flesh. I know this to be the fact. I have assailed many violent passions, but as soon as I took hold of some scripture passage, my temptations left me. Without the word, I could not have helped myself against the flesh. And as I said, I think a lot of us have different ways in which to posture ourselves. And Luther was saying, as soon as he took hold of scripture, perhaps as soon as he spoke scripture, something broke in the spiritual, in the spiritual dimension, and something... And that really helped him overcome certain temptations. I suppose at the end of the day, if we are to just allow ourselves to operate without a conscious effort to strive towards holiness, our flesh can often overwhelm us. And it is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle for our souls. Although we've received Jesus, I think the Holy Spirit tries to bring us towards a more holy living. And we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as Scripture says. And I think that just requires us to take on a mode of it just doesn't always come naturally. It doesn't always come naturally. And we have to fight it. And so I think sometimes the mentality to adopt is one of offense. You know, we're often defensive against the enemy, but we need to go on the offense. You know, we need to hate certain sins. Well, in fact, we need to hate sin. You know, and someone wrote, we need to hate sin. We need to starve it. We need to corner it. And in fact, we need to overwhelm it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And in order to hate it, we need to stop minimizing the sins. We need to stop minimizing idolatry. We need to stop minimizing jealousy. We just need to stop minimizing the fact that we have fits of anger every now and then. We need to stop minimizing and be sensitive when we have been envious or jealous of some people. We need to stop feeding our flesh. We need to stop feeding our flesh in certain ways. Whether it's talking to certain types of people, whether it's reading certain types of materials, we just need to starve it. We need to starve it. You know, if we're on a battle, we need to hate it. We need to starve it. We need to corner it, and we need to overwhelm it. And I think that is just sometimes the posture that we need to adopt. That this isn't always being a Christian. Isn't always going to be a pleasant journey. And in fact, it was probably never meant to be a pleasant journey. I think sometimes I make the mistake myself in thinking that, you know, being a Christian just means being a nice person. You know, walking by the Spirit, to me personally, sometimes it gives me this image, you know, walk by the Spirit and you won't fulfill or gratify the desires of the flesh. It gives me this feeling of, it's supposed to be a very easy, fairy thing to do. If we pray and if we just ask the Holy Spirit, you know, we are going to overcome this magically. You know, it's going to happen. And sometimes it does. But I think what I didn't realize and what I'm coming to realize now is that it often looks like it often is supposed to be a very gritty battle that we have. It's not going to be perfect. We're going to stumble. And then we're going to have to get up again. And we're going to have to fight. And it's the same thing that if you look at Paul's life, it was a very gritty battle that he was fighting for the gospel. It wasn't a pleasant thing. You know, he had the power of the Holy Spirit, but he was battling every moment as well. You know, he had a thorn in his flesh. And I think as Christians today, you know, sometimes we go to church and everything is, you know, more or less perfect. There's always an order to things. You know, we're nice. We will hold the door open and everything for everyone. We say nice things. You know, everything is cozy. And it just feels as if that should be, and that's the way Christian life should be. But in fact, I really believe that Christian life is a very gritty battle. And we just really need to open ourselves up to the fact that this is a battle that we fight with the enemy. But we have this Holy Spirit to help us in this battle. And as long as we posture ourselves in the right way, as long as we posture ourselves to be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to repent every time we stumble, I think that is really the message that Paul was trying to say and to preach. So in a moment, we will be singing the worship song, Waymaker. I would have to admit that personally myself, sometimes when I sing these worship songs, I often sing it with the mindset that God is supposed to help me achieve certain things, certain of my desires. God is supposed to help me, you know, achieve success in a certain way. And oftentimes when we sing worship songs like this, we feel that God is going to be able to do the impossible for us. But deep down inside, I speak for myself. I often feel that, you know, I myself feel that actually I want God to fulfill a selfish desire of myself. I want God to fulfill a fleshly desire. And so this morning, I wonder whether or not that when we sing the worship song, or when we hear this worship song, when we listen to it online now, we really listening to it and try to, view it in a different way. we try to view it in a way that God is going to do the impossible. He's going to create a way in which we can really start to battle and start to find breakthroughs in the way we sometimes fall back into operating in flesh. I pray that this is a way for us to not feel discouraged, but this is a way to encourage us that God is working in our lives, in our spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in us to transform us, because I think there is no better thing that we can do for God than to show Him how we are slowly transforming ourselves into more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. It is not about how comfortable we are. It's not about what success we achieve externally, but it's really the internal spirit, the internal man in each of us that needs to be transformed each day as we walk in the Holy Spirit. So we really need to move away from just ticking the boxes, the external boxes, like the early Galatian Christians were doing. But we need to reflect on this, on the Holy Spirit, the inner man, who is there, right there, helping us along the way. So I'm going to close us in a quick word of prayer, and then I'll invite Ernie to lead us in the worship. And I just pray that during this time, we can just really reflect and even start to posture ourselves before God and just be open to listening to His Holy Spirit. So, Father God, Lord, I pray that this morning, just the words that we've read from Scripture, will take on a new meaning in our lives. Lord, I pray that wherever we are now, in our homes, we are able to posture ourselves before You in a way where we can hear readily from You, in a way where we can just be naked and bare before You to receive the audience of one, that we may just renew our strength by Your Holy Spirit to live victorious lives and to overcome our fleshly instincts, Lord. Lord, we love You, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I worship You. here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are, Lord. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see you working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop, Lord. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop. You're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Waymaker, waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, Lord, we will declare you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yeah, Lord. Waymaker, miracle worker, darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Yes, you are. That is who 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 you are. darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are, Lord. You never stop, you never stop. That is who you are, Lord. You never stop. That is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
We praise you, God, that that is who you are. That is exactly who you are, that you never stop working in us. And praise you, God, that you have never stopped working through your Holy Spirit in us to find us a way out of this darkness. Without you, we were unable to fulfill this law. And I'm just looking at Philippians 2:12. It says, you know, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But the important one is this, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And I just want to praise God in terms of just the worship lyrics today, in terms of how he's constantly working. Even when we don't see him, he is working in us. Even when we don't feel him, he's working in us because it is God who works in us to will and to act. And it is God that enables us to fulfill his law and to fulfill his good purpose. So now let's turn to our community prayer. Let's pray for those of us suffering from cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's also continue to pray for others who are suffering from various illnesses, but also more importantly, that they need to hear the word of God, whether from our fellow members of Solomon's Porch or from people around them. Let's pray for healing as well as physical healing as well as spiritual salvation in your lives. Let's also continue to pray for others who are suffering from various infirmities. Many of these are members of Solomon's Porch and their friends and family. Let us pray for physical healing in their lives. moving on. Let's also remember those around us who are looking for jobs. Pray, Lord, that you will lift them up from any discouragement, that you will come alongside them and just lift them up in this time, Lord. Lift up their spirits. And as we move towards our mission focus, we pray for North Korea. We also pray that there will be opportunities for us as a body to serve in North Korea, but also opportunities in the rest of Asia. And just remember also the persecuted churches in the Middle East in this time. We pray for protection over our brothers and sisters there, Lord. We also pray for the leadership there, that, Lord, your grace will overcome and your lightness will shine in that darkness. Let us also just bless the SP online weekend gatherings. There's a single life workshop that's continuing during this period, SPLI on Transformed. Let's pray for the migrant workers outreach, Sunday service, and SP Kids worship team that we're preparing for tomorrow. Pray for the hospitality team, the SPU spin and spill services and activities, and all the other meetings that are happening this weekend, online or even in person. And also, yeah, let's just continue to contend for Hong Kong, for, you know, the various things that are happening in Hong Kong. We just pray that, you know, especially those people who are struck with COVID, who have been diagnosed. As we know, the numbers have always been over 100 these past weeks. And we just pray, Lord, that you will really heal the people, especially the elderly who are struck with COVID-19. We pray for your grace and mercy. We pray for your healing balm to be over them, Lord. And we just pray that our friends and families, ourselves, that we will also be protected in this time, Lord, that you will place a banner of protection over us and our loved ones. Pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.